It's going to be 2 Peter. Like Bill said, I talk a lot, but I'm hoping that it's all the Lord speaking through me. And this is St. Patrick's Day, right? We're all Irish today, right?
No.
Good, good. Well, I've got one quick Irish joke. It's a good one, trust me. There was a young lad named Seamus. He lived in a little village in Ireland. Nice kid, sweet, but the elevator didn't go all the way up to the top. But that didn't matter. Everybody loved him, and he loved everybody. He come running into the fellowship one day screaming, "I did it, I did it, I did it in 6 months, I did it in 6 months." And they're all going, "Oh, what could he do in 6 months?" And he says, "I had this puzzle, and it said 4 to 6 years, and I did it in 6 months." Do I have to explain this? Let's try to get serious, even though you're looking at me. Father, we just thank you again and praise you for your mercy and your grace and your loving kindness. We ask you tonight, Father, by your Holy Spirit, that you'll truly open up our hearts and our minds to your word this night and what you have for each and every one of us and collectively. We thank you, Father. And I ask you, Father, truly to forgive me for my shortcomings and even when I don't know I'm doing wrong, Lord, just forgive me and cleanse me this night for this hour, for this purpose. And I thank you and I praise you. And I just pray that those that are here tonight, Lord God, somebody will truly understand the fullness of your love, your grace, and your mercy that never stops. And we thank you through Christ our Lord. And everybody said,
amen.
All right, I know the last time I was here, I talked in, I think I did the first chapter. I don't know if I finished completely. But I want to talk, first of all, I want to start in 2 Peter 1, 16 through, I'm going to go through it speedily if I can without stammering, and expound out a little bit of it. But I want to talk very, very, not too in-depth on false doctrine. It's very prevalent today, and a lot of us stick our head in the sands, and we can get in trouble if we're not staying in the Word of God, listening to godly men. Amen? Okay? So I'm going to start in 2 Peter 1:16, the trustworthy prophetic word. "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty." Peter speaking, he was an eyewitness to the majesty. "For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And we heard this voice which came from heaven, and we were with him on the holy mount," the Mount Transfiguration. "And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed, as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing the first that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." And in 19, he said, "And so we have the prophetic word confirmed." What prophetic word was he talking about? All the prophetic words in the Old Testament, they were confirmed. Jesus Christ himself came. He confirmed those prophecies, didn't he? Amen? Glory, hallelujah. He confirmed it. And Peter's telling us, we do well to heed this. We do well to heed this, don't we? "That light shines in the dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." The morning star, Jesus Christ, is our morning star. Amen? He's the light. He's our light bearer. Revelation 22:16. "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star." The bright and morning star. In Luke 1:78, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from the high has visited us. Amen? Glory to God. I thank you, Jesus. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. What do you think that means? Anybody just want to throw that out? What interpretation do you get out of that?
I cannot say that Jesus said this unless he actually said it.
That's one way of looking at it, yes. Very good. Pastor, you got something?
Any human opinion that contradicts what the Bible says is not applicable.
Is there anything new here? It's all here. We need nothing else. We need no man to come out. I was going to go a little later in this, but I might as well bring it out right now. I don't know how often you've heard this, but I've heard this coming through that tube many times. You won't find this in the Bible. But it's true. I hear it often. That's why I don't, well, not often anymore. I watch one channel now. His channel. That's it. That's all I watch anymore. All right, but anyway, enough of me. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And it's no different today. Each and every born-again Christian, and I stress this constantly when I'm speaking, no matter where I go, there's many people that claim they're Christians today. All they are is people that go to church once in a while. The true church are born again believers, supernaturally from on high. I hear it so often. I've been going to church ever since I can remember. I've known Jesus ever before I could remember. No personal relationship with the Christ, the true Christ. They have the relationship with a pastor. They have a relationship with other Christians. But they don't have that true born-again experience. And the fruits of their lives show it. Oh, they're loving people. They're good people. You like to be around them. But they have no spiritual depth in their life at all. Because they don't have that personal relationship that you can only have and have that true spiritual in-depth into the Word of God. Because it's the Holy Spirit living within them. We can do nothing apart from the Holy Spirit working in our lives. Jesus had the fullness of the Holy Spirit in all the miracles and raising people from the dead. He could have not have done it if it wasn't the Holy Spirit in him, in his life, performing the miracles. Amen? It's all the Holy Spirit. So many people are afraid of the Holy Spirit. They're afraid of what they're going to do. No. The Holy Spirit only does what he hears from Christ, tells him to do. Amen? Because Jesus says, it's expedient that I go away, but I'll send you another comforter. He will be with you, and he'll be in you, and he will speak of me. Amen? It's the Holy Spirit working in our lives. All right. Now I'm going to read from the second chapter. I'm going to try to stay with 1 through 3 and stay with that so I can make Bill look bad for what he said. I told you I'd get even. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you. Now he didn't say prophets, did he? He said teachers, didn't he? But there's many people out there calling themselves prophets. I'll leave that with you. You can figure that out for yourself. Who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them, and bring in on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. Then Peter will go on later on from 4 through 17, talking about the false teachers, and then 18 to the end of the chapter, the deception of the false teachers. But I want to bring up 4 things to you tonight, and I'm not going to go too deep in them because it would take me forever. The first one is Dominionism. Have you heard that one? Has anybody not heard that? Dominionism? Do you know anything about it? What they teach? Satan usurped man's dominion over the earth through the temptation of Adam and Eve. He didn't usurp it. They gave it to him. They were disobedient, weren't they? They were perfect people. They disobeyed. Okay, Satan took over. The church is God's instrument to take dominion back from Satan. Jesus cannot or will not return until the church has taken dominion by gaining control of the earth's government, arts and entertainment, schools, education, government, the whole thing. Can you imagine Hollywood being run by born-again Christians? But this is their mentality. And the people that are propagating this, I know the pastor doesn't like to hear this, but I have to say it, but I know it's, God knows the heart, okay? We know this. God knows the heart. But I have a hard time with people that will expound to this type of doctrine and say that they're born again. If they're born again, they're not reading the scriptures, are they? Who are they following? They're following men. They're following these teachers with these false doctrines, sucking in everything that they're saying, because you said it tonight about what we want for ourselves instead of what we should want for others. And that's the trap here. How many people do not want to feel good all the time? We want to, don't we? We like to have nice things, don't we? We like to have nice refrigerators that are working, right? No, we like these things. We really do. And let me tell you something, folks. I got to be the worst sinner in this room tonight. I was so upset over that whole ordeal, I couldn't believe how bad I was until I looked in the mirror. God was trying to show me something. I wasn't trusting Him. A stupid refrigerator threw me so off balance that I couldn't believe some of the way I was acting. Not saying so much, but just acting. There was the only fruit that was coming out of me these last 3 days was rotten apples. That's all. But we get so engrossed in this life, these things that we have. We get so attached to them. If something happens, we lose it. Not everybody. I'm not saying you guys do that, but I do. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And so when these false teachers come up with these ideas of what the scriptures are saying, they distort them and twist them around to say, because Satan got control, we got to get it back from him. And we have to get this ready for Christ. We have to do this. We have to do that. I found over the course of the short period of time that I've been walking with the Lord that God doesn't need me at all. And He's proved it to me many, many times. So when they fall for this stuff, they're not reading the scriptures for themselves. They're not listening to godly men. They're going after their own lust to satisfy themselves because they're saying, we can do this, we can do that. All you need is more self-esteem. I'm watching those people walking around with that self-esteem. It's coming out of their heads. And many will follow. Many will follow. What did Jesus say in the last days? Love themselves. They want what they want. So, and he said, many will what?
Fall away.
We're living through this now. I got to share it with you, honey. Don't get mad at me. our grandson, he was on fire for the Lord. He was preaching. He was teaching. He was going to the college and having a Bible study. I mean, he was so on fire. His significant other is a guy. Jesus' words just hit me when I saw that on Facebook. That's why I'm not on Facebook anymore. And expounding how God is so gracious to him, how God is so good to him, and all the blessings that he's receiving from God. And I found out he's been in this relationship since 2014. In the last days, many will fall away. We all have loved ones that are not walking in the way, but it's so sad. A young man, so on fire for the Lord, so on fire. Oh, it was wonderful. And just, why? The lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh. The sexual lust. There's more lust, but this one, and that's all it is. There's nothing else. There's no such thing as love when it comes to anything like that. And many will follow their destructive ways because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. And somebody please go to 1 Timothy 4:1, please.
Now, the Spirit expresses that in latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons.
We're all adults here. Male, female. Strong desires that God has put in the male for a particular reason. But it was good desires. Right? Good desires, and we know this. And we know the desires in women are entirely different. Which, that's the way it's supposed to be. You know? We know this too, don't we? Your desires are not as strong as men's. That's the way it's supposed to be. But when a man starts having desires for a man, that's not the way it's supposed to be. And I don't categorize sin, but I know without a shadow of a doubt that there's some sins that some people will reap more heartache than others. Amen? I know God says sin is sin. We're not like some religions where, you know, you got a venial sin, you got a mortal sin, you know. And if you do this act of contrition, but there's some sin that are detestable to God. And that's one of them. God created man and woman. A woman and a man. And that is a total slap in the face to God himself. When a man lays with a man as a woman and a woman lays with a woman as a man. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber, does not stop. So with this dominionism, they promise you that you're going to be free to do all these things for the Lord. We're going to take over everything for the Lord. And we're going to get it all ready for him so he can come back. Isn't that going to be wonderful? It's all going to be done for him. But we're not going to kill people. See, we're going to, until we get full dominion. Because once we get full dominion, then we're going to put in the Old Testament laws back in. And we can start stoning people in the streets when they do bad. How many of you heard of replacement theology? Good. Good. So we don't have to go too far there. But there's been a lot of evangelicals that jumped on the bandwagon. Big time. But I was reading of one the other day that has come out and said that now the evangelicals are starting to understand this deceptive doctrine. So maybe the Lord has spoken to their hearts and opened up their understanding to the fallacy. You know what it means, don't you? That we have replaced Israel. the church has replaced Israel, and God is all through with Israel. And all you have to do is read the scriptures, and I've got some marked down here someplace, because I have to back up everything with scripture. Just Romans 9 through 10 will tell you, but somebody get Romans 11 and read 1 through 10, please. Romans 11, 1 through 10. So it definitely doesn't say anything about us replacing them, does it? And there's all scriptures all over, Old Testament, more in the New Testament. Just Romans 9 and 10. It's all about restoration. And in Revelation, I'm not sure what chapter it is, talks about they will see him and mourn for the one that they pierced. Amen.
And 144,000 Jewish tribes.
Oh, I thought they were Jehovah's Witness.
The rocks. We have that for you.
But it's so sad that these people, they're not reading the scriptures. They're not. They can't be reading the scriptures. If they are, they're just twisting them around. Listen to the people that twist them around. There's so many. It's all for filthy lucre. It's just for their own gain. These people are falling right into these traps. Because prominent, quote-unquote, preachers are espousing all of this garbage. And these people are saying, well, he's a reverend. And do you understand what I'm saying? The fallacy of all of that, yet they're still being duped because they've got itchy ears. They want to hear these things because they're consuming it for their own lust, for their own gains, all for themselves. And it's sad. So many are falling away, following after these false teachers. And they read it in the scriptures, they say, well, that was a long time ago. It's just like they were talking about the Israelites worshiping idols. Well, we don't worship idols today. Sure we do. If that refrigerator hadn't been an idol, it wouldn't have bothered me. You see what I'm saying? Just stupid little things like that can throw us off. That's when we're thinking about ourselves. When we should be thinking and praising the Lord for what he's already done, what he's going to continue to do, and what we've got waiting for us. I was thinking about that tonight. I was looking out, and it's a beautiful, nice night, and looking around. I said, Lord, this is, guess what I was doing? I got to tell you. Me and the dog. And I'm saying this to the Lord, how beautiful it is. I'm picking up the dog poop. But I was telling the Lord how wonderful this place is, but I know you got something far better waiting for me. And these people are just thinking of themselves and what they can have, what they can't have, and lusting after, covetous towards other people's goods. The world is full of that. Yet they're saying, well, I'm a Christian. I go to church. Okay, Dominionism replacement theology. Now, this is not a doctrine, but it's very prevalent. It's coming back, and it was really, really prominent in the 1800s, but it was most notably prominent in World War II. You know what it is? Anti-Semitism. It's just rampant all over Europe. All over. But now, it's starting to take a foothold in the United States of America. Big time. We got major denominations that are boycotting any company that's doing business with Israel. And they're telling these companies, you do business with Israel, we're pulling our funds out. These are major denominations. Well, Presbyterians, for one. But, people are listening. They're listening to these things. I have a friend that I worked with for many years in the Assembly of God. And when I first met him, I couldn't believe what he was espousing. He was saying the same things I was saying even before I got born again. But how the Jews are controlling all the finances in the world. They're controlling everything. Did you ever think that before you got saved? Be honest. That's what he did. I mean, I heard it when I was a kid. And even in my teenage years, I used to espow it. Because that's what I saw. Yeah, but it started long before the Ku Klux Klan. It was very prominent in the 1800s.
Yep.
If you go back into the histories. Very prominent.
Actually, that was started during the time of medieval times, when they had the Black Plague.
Black Plague, yeah.
Yeah. They were putting the blame on Jewish people.
Because they didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because they were following the dietary law of God.
Right, exactly.
And they're not eating the things that blood.
Yeah, that's true. Well, actually, that was before 1800 then, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But I mean, it got real prominent in 1800. But yes, they did. They that was what, 1200 something? The Black Plague? Bluebonnet or whoever it was. Some of you are from Pentecostal backgrounds and some of you aren't. It doesn't matter. But there's another teaching out there, and I've heard it, and I know you've heard it, where that Jesus had to go to hell and fight with the demons. Yep. Fight with the demons. And when he got all through it, Father said, "That's it, no more," and Jesus was born again. That's just a little bit of it. And you all know about faith teachers.
And Joyce Meyer.
Yeah, and Joyce Meyer. We used to watch her. Out of here and twist it. Man's doctrine. They're taking it and they just twist it. And this is what he's saying all the time, and I said it before I met him. Context, context, context. Once you take it out, you make it a pretext. And you make it whatever you want it to be. That's why scripture interprets scripture. That's why when I quote a scripture, I say read another one. You can't go wrong. You can't fall into these false doctrines. You can't. If you stay true to Jesus in His Word and let the Holy Spirit reveal the truth to you. But you can't do it without Him.
Amen.
You can't do it without Christ. You can't do it without the Holy Spirit. I know it. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. He is God. He lives within us if we're born again from above. Not born again from the mind. Born again from above. It's supernatural. And the Holy Spirit is a person with feelings that loves us. And He's following the orders directly from Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. So we cannot be deceived if we stay within the confines of this book and the Word. It's our truth. It's our life. It's our light. Because the Word is Jesus the Christ. There's many Jesuses, but there's only one Jesus the Christ. Amen? Father, I thank You. I hope it was clear. But You know our hearts, Lord, and You know what we need. We need more of You. We need a closer walk with You. We need to truly look at that finished work of the cross every moment of our lives as we're awake. And even in our slumber, Lord God, fill our hearts with that finished work that Jesus said, "It is finished." And He is our rest. He is our joy. He is our peace. He is our truth. And He is our life. Bless those that are here tonight, Father. And again, I thank You because You love us so much and You gave so much. And we praise You and thank You. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,
amen.